Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
We're going to do something a little bit different tonight. Normally these kinds of stories require so much research and fact-checking that we often don't have the resources to simply go into them to make sure that they can go to air, but this one certainly seems to be very credible. This is a woman who has suffered more injustice than I think most people will experience in a lifetime. Her name is Dawn Rowan. Here's the story. In the 1980s, Dawn ran a women's refuge in Christie's Beach near Adelaide. In 1987, the refuge was investigated and a government report was published accusing Dawn of sexual misconduct and financial impropriety. The shelter was shut down, and you can imagine the media had a field day publicising the scandal. The problem was, none of it was true. Dawn spent the next 15 years fighting for justice, suing the federal and the South Australian governments and two TV stations for defamation. In 2002, the Supreme Court declared Dawn was innocent and she was awarded $500,000 in damages. Now, that's where it should have ended. But appeals were lodged, and while the South Australian government remained culpable, the Commonwealth and the two TV stations were exonerated. They were let off the hook. And so here's the injustice. Even though Dawn is still considered innocent, she's been ordered to pay the legal costs of those three parties, more than $1 million. She's now on the brink of bankruptcy, still being pursued to this day by the Commonwealth to cover costs that you can imagine are just simply impossible to pay. Dawn Rowan, it's good to talk to you on Open House tonight.
Yes, hi Sheridan, good to talk to you.
I can't believe how you must feel 22 years later.
We're coming into nearly the 25th year when this actually started, and it is indescribable. I am absolutely astonished that I'm still alive, actually. It started when I was 41, and I'm now 63. And it's taken up more than a third of my life now.
Yes. Okay, I want to talk about what some of your supporters are actually going to be doing to rally around you on Thursday. We'll get to those details in just a minute. But just going back, in 1987, when the report was released, etc., the allegations were made. You've now been found innocent of them. But what prompted the investigation into the women's shelter in the first place, if there was nothing wrong, nothing untoward?
Look, I think to answer that, we need to think about in the 70s and 80s that family violence and child abuse was relatively unknown and generally denied in the community. I was one of the first people involved in the women's shelter movement Australia-wide and in the 70s and early 80s. And I think the main problem was that it was quite a threatening issue for people generally in the community, but also people in positions of power. And so there was just a general attitude that this couldn't be right and a very negative denial of the problem.
And so here you go through all of this, and then in 2002 you're found innocent, and yet you're then ordered to pay the costs. I think that's probably the big... I'm sure that there's so many different angles to this particular story, and I'm sure that books could be written, actually, about the whole story.
Yeah.
I indeed hope they will, actually, because I think there's a lot more to be uncovered. But how can a woman who has been declared innocent by the Supreme Court be ordered to foot such a large bill?
Legal technicalities, of course, and there were some really strange and bizarre legal twists in this. The issue is that it can happen in Australia, it does happen, and it can happen to anyone who speaks up in an unpopular, particularly a social justice issue, that is unpopular with the powers that be. So it can be done technically, I can explain that, but probably that's not appropriate. But there were some very, very strange legal twists in this.
Mm. I believe even some documents went missing at some stage during the whole legal process.
Oh, yes. In fact, from the time the Independent Review Committee actually gave the report to Parliament, because all of this was released under parliamentary privilege, this report was released in 87, and five government departments lost their documents, lost, in inverted commas,
five
documents relating to the investigations.
Dawn, what was so radical about what you were saying back then?
The fact that it was happening, the nature and extent of family violence and abuse, the horrors of child abuse, The fact that there was no adequate response from the law, from the from emergency services of all sorts, there was no emergency accommodation. That was considered extremely radical. It was, in fact, I was described as an empire builder. Because I was a very outspoken advocate for the urgent need for accommodation for families experiencing abuse and for holistic treatment approaches and supports, which are now routine nearly 30 years later.
What has this cost you financially over these 25 years?
It's just immeasurable. In terms of lost wages, it would be well over $1 million.
Because you've kind of lost your profession, really. You were a counsellor. You've kind of lost that, haven't you?
Yes. Oh, yes. Which is an absolute devastation. I should have been hospitalised at the time. I was just destroyed by it, and it is still extremely difficult for me to survive, particularly as successive governments refuse to actually do the right thing with this. It's just totally exhausting and unbelievable. But it's cost enormous amounts. I can't describe the losses personally in terms of friendships and networks, people who, when this sort of thing is said about you in the public arena, you can't gather it back up, and people believe that where there's smoke, there's fire. When all of this, and it took 14 years to get it through the court system with the governments, both state and federally, throwing legal cases at me to try and get it out of court. There wasn't just the one trial, as there's been about six or seven separate trials involved in this. To clear my name, where it was established when it did eventually get to the proper trial, that all of this was completely false. But that took the first 14 years to get that far, and then, of course, they appealed en masse, using taxpayers' money, of course, to do that.
Yes. Any idea, actually, what that bill itself would come to?
It would have to be millions, because we have the costs of the South Australian government, the federal government and the ABC, which were involved in it. The only party that was paying their own costs was one of the commercial television stations. So all the rest came out of taxpayers' money. Yeah. And it's just extraordinary that this amount of money would be, you know, one has to ask and look behind this as to why would taxpayers' money be used unrelentingly in supporting and protecting this outrageous behaviour.
Yes. Dawn Rowan is with us. She's been, I think, in any way you look at it, the victim of great injustice. She was proved innocent of charges back to the 1980s that were levelled at her by the South Australian government. Unfortunately, she has been still given a very, very large bill to pay when it comes to the Commonwealth government, basically the restitution of legal costs. You know, the other thing that I'm scratching my head over about this, Dawn, is the fact that we have had a little bit of media coverage about your story in some local papers in your area.
Yes.
The Adelaide Today Tonight program on Channel 7 did it, sort of coverage back 2 years ago, but we've had nothing in the rest of the media.
Well, there is a conspiracy of silence on this, I have to say. There are many things that are very curious about this case. That's the issue that I think people would find most difficult to grasp, is why would there be a silence on this issue? And it is because of the essence of the nature of family violence and abuse, and the difficulty that people in high places have with that. All I can say is that people who are working in the social justice areas against the abuse, and particularly abuse by people in power, really are going to be executed in some way, even in our so-called democratic Australia.
Let's talk about the current situation then, because you were saying successive governments haven't really helped you out here. It's been 25 years.
Yep.
We have had a change of government in the last 18 months, and Jenny Macklin, Community Services Minister Jenny Macklin, has recommended that your debt be waived. But the final decision now lies with Finance Minister Lindsay Tanner.
Yes.
Have you had any response from the Minister yet?
No, absolute silence. Although he's been approached, it's been over 12 months since he received the recommendation from Jenny Macklin to waive this debt. And in the meantime, of course, they have my assets frozen. I've been declared bankrupt. I'm just waiting for them to decide whether they're going to come and take my house, which is a horrific way to live. It is quite bewildering as to why Lindsay Tanner simply cannot make this decision to do the right thing, given all of the information that he's got, and that Jenny Macklin did recommend and said some very kind things about how much I had been through. And we were given a copy of that letter, so we know what was said. Mm-hmm. And it's quite bewildering that Lindsay Tanner will not act.
Okay, well, you've got some quite well-respected supporters and advocates behind you. Julian Burnside QC has actually taken a look at your case and has encouraged you to continue to pursue it. The well-known Victorian Baptist pastor Roland Croucher has really gotten behind you as your advocate.
Yes.
And you've got a number of supporters that are holding a vigil for you this Thursday, actually outside Lindsay Tanner's office. What are you hoping to... Well, one thing, why this Thursday? And secondly, what's ultimately the end goal that you're hoping as a result of that meeting?
It was decided by the people who were keen to support me that it would be appropriate coming into Easter, particularly in relation to Jesus challenging the powers and the reminder, I suppose, that we still need to be vigilant about making a stand against misuse of power. And so we thought that 24 hours leading into Good Friday, so it starts at 6:30 a.m. on Maundy Thursday and finishes first thing on Good Friday morning. And we're hoping to attract attention, to perhaps get some more media attention to it, which is sad that the government can't do the right thing without that, but that it will demonstrate to the government that there are people in Australia who are determined that these sorts of injustices will not go unchallenged.
Yes. All right, 25 years on, I'm so glad that you're still standing.
I'm actually surprised that I am, and yeah. I can only say I think it's the grace of God that's at work here in terms of... keeping me as well as I am.
Yes, all right. Well, let's give some details on how people can support you. Dawn, thanks for your time, and we'll keep on praying for you that you'll have the strength to keep on going. I do hope that something redemptive would come out of all of this, 25 years of suffering that you've had, that of course everything, that the debt against you would be waived. But then even beyond that, you know, that something... that God himself would be something redemptive out of this. I've got no idea what it could be, but I think that's what will be my personal prayer for you.
Thank you, Sheridan. I really appreciate your support. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's Dawn Rowan. 25 years seeking justice. On the verge of bankruptcy now because the Commonwealth government are pursuing a very, very large sum of money against her over court costs that in the end she was totally, by the Supreme Court, proven to be innocent of. Just not fair, is it? If you'd like to join that support with Dawn's rally of supporters, the 24-hour vigil will be held outside Lindsay Tanner's office in Melbourne this Thursday, King Street and Little Lonsdale Street in Melbourne. Website for you to find out more information. There's a whole bunch of legal documents there, a whole heap of letters to basically trace the story. DawnRowanSaga.blogspot.com. DawnRowanSaga.blogspot.com. Take a read of those, and I do hope you'll support her in some kind of way.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.